any Dharma brothers and sisters, you have questions to ask Narayan, please you can just unmute yourself, or you can raise hand, and then I will spotlight you as well. Anyone would like to start first?
You just came to look at me, huh?
Yeah, I think everyone misses you. So, okay, Joan, you want to unmute yourself?
We have to unmute.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Oh, hello, Bhante. I'm always the first person to ask a question. I don't know. I like wait for somebody else, but I guess it'll be me again. So I'm reading Wisdom Develops Samadhi. And Longtu Mahabua said what popped out at me was some people don't get into Samadhi very easily. If you swear to get to Samadhi. And I thought, well, that sounds like me, someone who thinks too much. And so I started doing asubha and body contemplation more in my meditation. And I do find I'm more focused when I do that. But then if I listened to an old Dhamma talk of yours from a few years ago, and you were saying not to do that so much. Anyway, so say I meditate 5 to 6 hours a day. So right now, I started doing the asubha, maybe 3 hours or 4 hours of that, and then samatha the other times. But I'm wondering if I'm doing it too much. Should I, out of my 5 or 6 hours, about 2 of those hours are walking meditation, the rest is sitting. How much should I do body contemplation during the day?
I mean, it really depends on your sati, yeah? I mean, body contemplation is actually visualizing the things that you want to contemplate with your in.
So
yeah. Can you do that?
Body parts.
Yeah, but you only take one body part until you see it with your inner eyes.
Okay, so I do one body part at a time. I don't know that I'm getting to it really. I'm imagining it more than it naturally.
Yeah, it's okay.
To me.
It's okay, you can focus, you know, you can focus on the imagination until it becomes real. And once you have a stable image, then dissect it, yeah? I mean, be it the whole body or be it a body part, you know, dissect it. You want to understand the nature of the body part, yeah?
Right.
But samadhi is not an option, yeah?
Pardon, what was that?
Samadhi is not optional. You have to train samadhi, and you should not do 3 hours of contemplation and 3 hours of samatha. You should, you know, maybe in the beginning or only 1 or 2 hours of contemplation. Yeah, if it helps you a little bit with your samadhi, I mean, then start with contemplation and then do the samatha afterwards. Yeah.
Okay.
Because most of the time, you know, when our sati is not strong. I mean, our contemplation will not bear any fruits, yeah? Well, what I mean with bearing fruits, you will see if your investigation of the body bears fruit, you become very easily angered or very easily irritated. That's when your contemplation bears fruit, yeah? If you don't, you just play around, yeah? And it's just thinking about something, you know, or visualizing without getting results. So, I mean, try, yeah? Everybody has the same problem, you know, in the beginning with samadhi, yeah? So we have to force it. We have to force it, you know? Okay, Stel, come back, you know? Huh? And don't get disheartened, yeah? It won't work for, maybe it won't work for 1 year or 2 years, you know, but you have to train, yeah? You have to force yourself, yeah? Okay, just force it back, yeah? That's where we need the strength, to force the attention back to the breath or back to the Buddha, yeah? We don't have to force the Buddha, or we don't have to force the breath, but we have to force the mind to come back to the object of, be it the investigation or be it the samatha object. Okay, understood?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hendrik, understood? People try to force it, you know, I mean, you just get headaches, eh? When you force it too much, huh? Where you need to force is, you know, to bring the object back, because the mind doesn't want to go back to the Buddha. Huh? That's where you need the force. Once it is on the Buddha, you don't need any force. Huh? Okay, next question.
Yeah. Is Hendrik and HT there?
Hendrik is there.
So
that's
HT?
HT is also here. And Gilbert.
Gilbert.
Gilbert wants to stay here and ordain.
yeah, probably, yeah.
Anyone else can raise your hand or unmute yourself?
Good morning, Dubante.
Yeah?
Just greetings here from the United States.
Yeah.
But I know that you probably don't place much importance on dreams, but I still would like to ask you, is there any sign or any thing that we could get from dreams? I'm asking because not only my dreams are mostly, you know, or bizarre things, or sometimes sexual things. I'm getting very good at, on the sexual ones, to cut myself and stop. And I'm glad about that. I feel happy about that. But this last week, I had a dream for the first time where I started to hear Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato from the distance. And I was doing something weird or mundane or whatever, and then that really caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I followed the sound. And then I got to this place where you know, what it seems to be monks, you know, shaving heads, and I don't remember much after that, but that really caused a big impact on me. So I wonder if there's any importance that I should place on that, or
I would not place too much importance on that, yeah, but this doesn't look like it was a dream. It was it was sort of a lucid dream, yeah, where you could decide to go to, yeah, you could decide to go towards the sound and see something, yeah? I mean, it's okay, yeah. I mean, even if we have these nimittas, yeah, lucid dreams are more like nimittas, even if we have these nimittas, most of the time we do not understand our importance, yeah? Not yet. Maybe later on we understand our importance. Yeah? Notice it, you know, I mean, it is okay, yeah? But the other dreams, you know, I mean, just get rid of them, yeah? Especially in the morning when you wake up, yeah? Don't even think about them, because otherwise they bother you the whole day, yeah? They will constantly come up and during the day. But this nimitta, you know, this is okay, you know, I mean, you can pull it up later on, you know, and look at it, yeah. And especially if it was a nice nimitta, a nice dream, yeah, or lucid dream, yeah. But that's it, yeah. There's no special, I don't see any special importance, yeah, of it, yeah. Unless you have within your heart the intention to become a monk, yeah?
Well, actually, I do.
So, I mean, you know, something, you know, your heart, you know, when you're in the state of, when you stay off sleep, something pulls you towards, yeah? But that could be a sign, yeah? But the other dreams, I wouldn't put so much attention on it, especially sexual dreams. Oh. Yeah. I mean, when you notice that you have a sexual dream, you know, I mean, have one of these Azuba pictures ready, yeah? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Sure. The Azuba pictures ready, you know, and then change it, yeah? And then the sexual dream instantly will stop, yeah?
Okay. No, normally for years now, I've been becoming very good at, you know, finding or waking up while in the middle of the dream, in the middle of the dream, when I notice that I'm doing something that is sexual.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know, I feel a little proud about that, actually. But I'm still working on it. Yeah. It's really difficult, but that seems to be, like, for me, it's a big step, big stone.
Not only for you, for everyone. Yeah. And that's why we have the Azuba ready, you know, I mean, to step in, you know, to counteract the thing.
Yes.
And see it, you know, I mean, see how it works, yeah? If you have these Azuba images ready, see how it instantly stops everything, yeah? I mean, no matter what, you know, no matter if you have an erection, you know, I mean, it instantly boops, goes down, yeah? When you really apply the image, yeah? So, I mean, you have to ready that. It is the only thing for us as monks, you know, I mean, to be able to live a celibate life, yeah? If you don't have something, you know, if you don't have a tool ready, you know, for countering sexual activity, yeah, or countering sexual dreams, yeah? I mean, if you don't have a tool ready, I mean, we would all disrobe sooner or later, yeah? So, I mean, developing this is very helpful, you know, for a monk, it is essential, yeah? Okay?
Yes, I believe so, but I do, and I've been celibate for about 5 years now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has been a real hard struggle, but I'm proud of my results so far.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, keep it, yeah. But it is difficult for everyone, yeah. Yeah. I mean, raga tanha, or sensual desire, is the most obnoxious. It's the most obnoxious drive of every one of us, yeah. And every one of us is pretty much in the same situation, yeah. I remember a story that Lungta told about one of the monks, you know. I mean, he got sexual arousement, you know, and it wouldn't go away, so he took a razor blade, you know, and put it to his throat and said, yeah, if you don't go away, you know, I'd rather kill myself than to give in, yeah? So it can be that strong, yeah? And then the moment you put it there, you know, it did go away, yeah? So that's quite a method, yeah?
Well, yeah, I understand that, Bantu, because actually, recently, like last week, I was gaining a lot of, progress where I wouldn't be bothered by women around looking good or anything like that so much.
Mm.
And I was able to concentrate and pay attention. But then this other day, just suddenly, you know, I saw a beautiful woman and it was like,
yeah. Really
pulling me. And then I was thinking to myself, but I don't want this. I'm not looking for this. It's just something that, you know, it's like another person or something.
No.
It's really annoying. But, and then I thought to myself, well, if I start to get, you know, frustrated about this, then that would be another kilesa that I have to fight, you know, like, now it's frustration on top of the other one.
If you see a beautiful woman, you know, on the street, or, you know, more or less beautiful, you know, and you feel attracted to her, turn it into something, you know, something that is completely, you know, just tear her skin off, yeah? And then look at her, you know, without skin, yeah? I mean, or without hair, you know, without skin, yeah? Do you like it, yeah? I mean, the attraction is instantly gone. So learn this, you know, I mean, it is for us as monks, you know, immensely important, yeah? And for you, you know, if you want to continue your celibate life, it is also important, yeah? That you have this tool ready, yeah? Okay?
Yes,
thank you, Martin. What is?
Du bist was?
Buddhist mache ich nicht.
Und ja, ein Buddhist, ja, das hat mit dem Buddhismus nichts zu tun.
Oder ich sage mir, ach, Precepts mache ich nicht. Und dann ist es sofort weg. Und dann ist der Traum an der Stelle zu Ende. Aber tagsüber...
Was?
Naja, tagsüber kann ich irgendwie 1-2 Stunden lang brauchen, bis ich irgendwann sage, okay, jetzt höre ich dich mal auf damit. Und ich frage mich, wie kann das sein, dass ich im Traum, wo ich ja so viel weniger meine Handlungen bewusst bin, das so gut hinkriege,
weil
kann ich das rausholen?
Träume sind relativ kurz. Ja? Ich meine, das sind drei oder vier oder fünf Bilder, ne, und vier oder fünf Gedanken, und wenn du da sagst Schluss, dann ist Schluss, ja. Aber wenn du 2 Stunden lang da mit den Gedanken da rumspielst, dann ist es natürlich sehr schwer, das, ne, loszulassen, ja. Und auch für euch, ne, auch für die Frauen, das ist genau dasselbe Problem, ne, das hat ja nichts mit den Männern zu tun, ja. Ihr müsst es super machen. Ihr müsst das Objekt, ne, das euch anzieht, ne, müsst ihr in etwas Scheußliches verwandeln, in etwas Hässliches verwandeln. Wenn du mit diesem Objekt rumspielst, ne, dann musst du da die Haare rausreißen, ne, und die Haut abziehen, ne, und dann hinschauen. Ne. Wenn du das bloße Fleisch siehst, dann ist deine Attraktion sofort weg. Verstehst du? Aber das wollen wir natürlich nicht. Deswegen müssen wir das üben, ne?
Mir fehlt irgendwie so ein bisschen die Abschreckung bei so einer Sache. Mich ekelt das auch nicht an, irgendwie ein totes Tier oder so zu sehen.
Ja, weil du dich da abschirmst. Du musst, wenn du das betrachtest, ne, musst du sofort den Gedanken haben, genauso schaue ich innen drin aus, ne? Aber du würdest nie mit einem Mann Sex haben wollen, ohne dass der eine Haut anhat. Ha? Du würdest ihn gar nicht mehr anfassen wollen, weil du das Fleisch und das blutige Fleisch, ne, würdest du nicht anfassen wollen. Du würdest ihn auch nicht umarmen wollen. Oder sonst irgendwas. Oder?
Ich würde ehrlich gesagt auch so keinen mehr anfassen wollen. Es ist nur...
Ja, das ist aber, das ist gedanklich. Das ist gedanklich. Ne? Gewisse Dinge sind gedanklich, nein, wir wollen das nicht, aber trotzdem, die Lust kommt hoch, ne, und dann brauchen wir was anderes. Ja? Dann brauchen wir etwas Realeres, ja? So, did the other Mechis understood? What was? You also need to prepare a super, ja? Ne? I mean, sexual desire is there, you know, it is the strongest, yeah? Not only sensual desire, but the sexual desire is the strongest, yeah? And you will not survive if you don't have any weapon, you know, to counteract it, yeah? And you have, and try to counteract it as soon as possible, yeah? Only if you have a weapon to counteract it, then you can start to play around with it. To see how it works, yeah? Yeah? So you bring up these beautiful pictures, or you know these, yeah, and then turn it on, you know, into a loathsome picture, and then see how it works, yeah. But if you don't have this tool, yeah, then don't do it.
Another thing, just from a female perspective, is that visualization usually has nothing to do with sexual desire for women.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, but there is an object. Yeah, then, you know, I mean, then, you know, even if it is physical, yeah, I mean, there must be some mental state behind it. If it's physical, yeah, I mean, then you have to find something, you know, that this physical becomes abhorrent, yeah? Yeah? Whatever, yeah? But in the end, I mean, it's the same. Yeah, I mean, we so, it's understood, huh? Who is there sitting there behind, you know, I can't hardly see it. Joanne, yeah? Yeah? we say, in English you say, no fool like an old fool. The older we get, you know, the more foolish we get. So I mean, it's essential also for you, you know, to do this body contemplation. It's essential for every one of us. It's a long time that I have been a woman, so I don't really know how it is. But there's your menstruation pause, you know, or menstruation, you know, whatever it is, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things there. So, we don't have that there. God thanks. But we have other problems. Okay, so next question.
Yeah, Eric, can I go ahead?
All right, thank you, Zani. I would like to, first of all, wish Vande and the all the best in the health and happiness and joy. My son sending my love and respect to Vande. My question is, if a person who has good sati, is it possible for that person to still dream at night when he sleeps?
If a person has perfect sati, then he will not dream. But we don't have perfect sati, so he will still dream. Yeah. So even if you have good sati, you still will dream. Yeah.
Okay.
And the longer you sleep, the more you are. Yeah. The more you're likely to dream. Yeah. If you only sleep for 2 hours, yeah, and then get up, you know, and put your practice, yeah, and practicing, then you won't dream. Yeah. Because the first 2 hours of our sleep is not dreamless. Yeah. But then, you know, once we get, you know, get to into certain state of relaxation, then the dreams come in. Yeah? That's what I found out. You know, if I sleep 1.5 hours or 2 hours, I mean, there is no dreams. If I sleep 3 or 4 hours, then the dreams come in. Yeah.
Okay.
And an Arahant also has dreams. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was thinking, you know, when I was in Bondat, you know, some of these thoughts came up and I said, an Arahant doesn't dream anymore, yeah? And then Lungta, you know, was just giving a talk that some people really believe that Arahants can't dream anymore, yeah? It's so foolish to think that. You always counteracted my wrong thoughts, you know, that when I was in the West, you have so many stupid ideas of what, you know, what an Arahant is like or what Nibbana is like. Yeah. So whenever this thought, you know, I entertained one of these thoughts, you know, he came out, you know, and said, some people think like this, that's not the way. Next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good evening, Ajahn, and hope everyone is now at your monastery. I'm just a beginner in meditation, but I have a problem which is physiological. A year ago, my body started to lean on one side, and then there are a lot of movements like front and back, or up and down, bobbing up and down.
Yeah.
And when I try to do the breath meditation and concentrate on the in and out, I can do it quite well in the beginning, but I'm still overcome by the movements of the body. And today, for example, I tried to do 40 minutes. Eventually, I cannot stop the movement, and I have to end it. So I don't know whether there's any other meditation method I can use, or what else do I mean, do I just continue like this, or what is your advice?
There's a way, you know, when you do a lot of walking meditation, this thing will not happen.
It happens.
You do walking meditation.
Yes.
Not only sitting meditation. What happens when
standing and walking, and my body will move.
Your sati is not strong enough. So how fast are you walking?
How fast?
Okay. Yeah.
Hold on. So I just follow.
Yeah. Walk faster a little bit. And see what is happening. And don't do the Buddha together with the feet. Just do Buddha, 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 Buddha. Yeah? Yeah? And then walk relatively fast, yeah? And then you will see, you know, it might not come up. Yeah? It is a problem, you know, that the chitta, you know, I mean, that it is not obvious to us, you know, but the chitta moves the body, yeah? And if the chitta is not fully concentrated, then the movement starts. Yeah? So if we are not fully concentrated on the Buddha or on the breath, then this movement starts. Yeah? So it's always a sign, you know, that we are not really fully concentrated when the body starts to trip here or trip there or move up and move down. Yeah, and we don't have enough sati to see, yeah, the intention, yeah, of the chitta to move the body. Because before the body can move, there needs to be an intention. If you can catch the intention, yeah, then the body does not move. Yeah? But to catch, yeah, I just say it for other people, you know. Yeah? But that requires a lot of sati, you know, to catch the intention. Yeah, catching the intention before a thought arises. Yeah, that you want to think, and you know? It's not easy. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I mean, try it, you know, try to walk a little bit faster, yeah, as if you hurry to go to work, yeah?
I'll give it a try.
Yeah, yeah. And otherwise, you know, just stop it, you know, and yeah, I mean, when it is too much after 40 minutes, then stop it, yeah, open your eyes, you know, breathe through, and you know, and then do it again, and see what is happening. Sometimes it can be also tiredness, yeah? Okay?
Yeah, have a break. Thank you.
Anyone next? Anyone have questions? No.
May I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I have also another curiosity. How come sometimes when a person, if you just wake him up, that person can straight away engage in a phone call as if like he was just a normal talking. But when the other person, when you wake up the person and then he talk on the phone, you will know he's been sleeping because he's a bit, you know, groggy or mumbling. But other people straight away you can alert and talk, right? Like you won't know he has been sleeping.
That's a training. Yeah. I mean, people who train, you know, when they wake up to be awake, you know, this is a certain training. Yeah. I mean, a lot of soldiers train like this, you know. I mean, the moment they wake up, you know, they are up there, yeah. And they don't go to sleep again. But people, you know, who wake up, you know, and then, you know, put their head on the other side, you know, of the pillow, yeah. These people, you know, when you call them, they will be grumpy, yeah. Yeah? So it is a training. It's a training, you know, when waking up, yeah. So if you wake up, you know, in the moment you realize you want to be awake, and then you are awake, yeah. But if you I want to sleep again, you know, and then you turn around, you know, then, yeah, I mean, then when you wake up the second time, you will not be alert. You will be sleepy, you know, and drowsy and grumpy and whatever, yeah. Okay?
Sorry.
So even like people who are already awake, but you can see they are grumpy in the morning. They don't have their breakfast in the grumpy face.
Yeah, I mean it really depends on. I mean sometimes people are grumpy because they had a bad dream or or they think about whatever. Huh? Whatever kind of thoughts or memories come up the moment you wake up, it really colors your day, yeah. You have to be very careful, yeah. So what we do as practitioners is the moment we wake up, yeah, we erase all the memory of our dreams or the thoughts that we have and think putto, 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 putto. And then we don't get grumpy, yeah, hopefully.
Okay.
Unless we let other thoughts come in. The moment we remember something, from what happened yesterday and was a very unpleasant situation, and then we entertain this thought, then of course, our mood changes, huh? Okay?
Hi, Ajahn. The other day, you recommended me to look into the 31 realms in Buddhism, and thankfully, it has helped me to cope with some of my fear of death. But we have aware that there's more fortunate people. So during one of my meditation, my question is, during one of my meditation, I encounter some intense fear, and I try to let it go. And part of this letting go is using coaxing, trying to express or extend a certain form of loving kindness towards the fear, and then I found a certain peace from that. What should I do from here on, and if I should continue the same method?
Let me ask, is it about fear? Or what is it? What is the problem?
Yes. The problem is there is fear that is coming up during my meditation.
Okay.
So
I said yes, you can do, you can do some metta, then the fear will go away. But I also said, to really, really get to know what is the feeling of fear? Yeah. Fear is something that is very important, yeah. After we do investigation of painful feelings, the next feeling that we really have to investigate is fear, yeah, because fear comes up, yeah. Sometimes fear comes up because the breath is so subtle and we don't know that the breath is there anymore, or fear can come up, because of something of the unknown. We are afraid of the unknown, yeah. So, really go into the feeling of fear without thinking about fear, yeah. Just go into the feeling, experience it, with the whole body, and then ask yourself what kind of thought or what kind of memory came before this feeling of fear arose. You understand that?
Yeah.
Because
you are saying that I should investigate and try to experience the fear,
yeah,
instead of trying to think about it and intellectualize it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. If it's too strong, yeah, you can still use, you still can use, produce, or try to go into metta, to get rid of the fear. But this is not, then the fear is still there, yeah, and we don't know why it is coming up, yeah. So it is essential, sooner or later, to go into this fear, yeah, and see really, yeah, and ask yourself, what am I afraid of, yeah? Right? Once you can feel the fear, ask what I'm afraid of, yeah, and then see what kind of thoughts or what kind of memories came before that. Once you can see them, do not judge them, yeah, and then roll back, until you find really the thought or the stone, that caused all these problems, yeah. And sometimes it is really helpful, if you think, or if you have the feeling it is essential fear, to go into this fear, and really, yeah. We are born to die, yeah. So sooner or later we will die, yeah. Yeah. So, to cope with this fear of death, it is very helpful, yeah. Or we are fearful of injury, yeah. Oh, we have, most of the people in this world are fear of the unknown, yeah? That's why they want to live with their family, you know, and live only with people who they know, you know, and every stranger, you know, makes them afraid, yeah? Because they don't know, yeah? And our path of practice is to get into the unknown. You understand that? To be free of that fear of the unknown. Huh? I mean, instead of entertaining the fear, we ask, oh, what is this? You know, just like we are explorers of a new continent, yeah? We don't know what is happening. Oh, let's see. What is happening after this? What is happening after that? Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes my fear can get quite intense and
yeah, then if it gets too intense, you know, then stop, yeah? Stop the meditation, do a little bit of metta, and then, yeah? And then go, yeah? And after the fear is gone, you know, reflect what came before the fear, yeah? You can do the reflection even then, yeah? What was so intense, yeah? I mean, because in order to be intense, the fear needs to have some fuel, yeah? And the fuels are thoughts and memories, yeah? And these thoughts and memories show you what is the fear about. Yeah? Okay? So, I mean, if it becomes intense, stop it. Yeah, do some metta or whatever, you know, whatever helps you, you know, to calm down the fear. And then do a reflection. What actually came before that fear? Yeah? Before the feeling of fear. What kind of memory? What kind of thought? What came before that? What came before that? What came before that? Until you find out, you know, what is this fear about? And then you can go rational, very rational about this. Yeah? I mean, I was born. I was not afraid to be born. Yeah. Hmm? Huh? I know I'm going to die sooner or later. My parents or my grandparents have died. You know, some of my friends have died. You know, hmm? And so on. You know, people die in the war every day. Yeah. Huh? Hmm? So sooner or later I will have to face death. Yeah. That's why the Lord Buddha said to us, you know, to face death, maranasati, yeah, is very useful, and we should do it every day. The daily reflection about death is something that we should do every day, actually. Yeah? Okay?
Thank
you. So, are there some more questions, yeah?
Regarding death, the thing about death is, I think the thing that is more scary than the thought of death is not dying itself, but is the suffering that we have to go through before dying. The body goes through before dying.
Yeah, pain of death. Yeah, but also not only the pain of death, but also the fear of the unknown. Huh? I mean, if some people are afraid to die, you know, because they know they go to hell, yeah? Or they will be born as an animal, or as a ghost, yeah? I mean, it is one thing certainly is the pain of death, yeah? But some people, you know, go to sleep, you know, and yeah, while they sleep, they are dead, yeah? I mean, they die, yeah? Some people die a very violent death, yeah? Some people are tortured to death, yeah? I mean, yes, there is the pain of death, but, yeah, I mean, there's also the fear of the unknown. Do you know where you're going to be reborn? Huh? Are you sure that you're not going to hell? It's very hot there. You understand? Huh? I mean, we have to, when we contemplate death, you know, we have to contemplate all aspects of death. Huh? Also the physical pain, but also, you know, the fear of the unknown. What is happening, yeah? If you go to New York and go to the Bronx, you know, through a dark alley, you know, you don't know what is going to happen, yeah? Maybe some people are standing there, you know, and beat you to death, yeah? In Malaysia it is not very likely, but, yeah. But anyway, yeah? I mean, things like that can happen, yeah? So, it's a fear, yeah? It's a fear of the unknown, it's a pain of death, yeah? Okay? So, come on, more questions, more life questions, and then we go to the other kind of questions.
Okay.
Viru, you want to go ahead? Can you unmute yourself?
Yeah? What is your question? You have to unmute. I don't understand a thing. Okay.
First of all, Ayan, I want to pay my respects to you and to thank you to have this session. When, for example, beautiful sights coming through the eye, one can work with that, as you mentioned it before. But how do we, how can I do or do or deal with, for example, attractive sounds coming into the ear? I mean, for example, certain type of music that put me in energetic mode, but it's like a kind of maybe to a little bit addictive.
Yeah, I mean,
how to deal with that?
There is a training to only hear, yeah, and not making anything out of it. Yeah, I mean, the moment you hear the music, you know, you say you like it or you dislike it, yeah, or you try to match it to one of the, you know, the kinds that you like, yeah. Leave out your thoughts, you know, and just listen to what is there, yeah. That takes out the attraction, yeah? Because the attraction comes through thoughts and through memories. Yeah, you had a memory when you heard the first time this kind of sound, yeah, and these memories come in, you know, and it is a pleasant memory. Yeah, sometimes we hear something and we get an unpleasant memory. Yeah, so leave out the thought, you know, stay with the Buddha, 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 Buddha while you're listening. Yeah, yeah? Only to hear, you know, because sound is sound. Yeah. There's nothing attractive and there's nothing disgusting. Yeah? So if you hear some noise, you know, I mean, from some workers, you know, who open the street, yeah, who tear up the street, you know, or who tear down a building, you don't like that sound, yeah. But it's still sound, and it's the same thing. Yeah. I remember one of my first retreats. Yeah, I mean. Next to the meditation hall, they were tearing up the street, you know, for, it was quite an ordeal. for 7 days, yeah, during the day from morning 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and that's where our meditation, normal sitting meditation, yeah. And there I learned, you know, how just to listen to the sound, you know, not to be bothered by it, yeah. Because normally your reaction is you don't like it, you don't want it, yeah. And this, you know, to take out this reaction, you know, and then just listen to the sound, yeah? And you can do that with beautiful sound as well, but it's more difficult, yeah? Try it out with sounds that you don't like, yeah? Okay?
But in, for example, this kind of music brings me a lot of energy than when I feel stressed or I am tired. Mm-hmm. This kind of music put me on the mood of energy, but
yeah.
Instead of hearing that, what can I do?
Because you are able to concentrate, yeah? I mean, why we feel tired, why we feel, you know, why we feel bored, you know, or without energy? Because we are not concentrating. Yeah? So the moment you hear the music, you concentrate on the music, yeah? Because, of course, you like it, and that's why we concentrate, and then you feel energetic, yeah? It's just like people who climb a mountain, yeah? I mean, the fear of falling down, you know, makes them really concentrated, yeah? And really energetic. And so they do it over and over and over again, yeah? It's all due to concentration, yeah? If you do meditation and your concentration is well, then you feel very energetic. So it has nothing to do with the music. We have to pull all these things, you know, all these labels, you know, from these things that we think, oh, this gives me energy, that gives me energy. The fact is, it is very simple. You are concentrated on one thing. When you read a book or nice story, you know, and you're concentrated on the book, yeah, I mean, you feel energetic, yeah. If the book becomes boring, you feel, yeah, you feel you have no energy and you become tired and don't want to read anymore. Yeah? It's interest, yeah? Interest is the important thing, you know, and concentration on the same object, yeah? Not letting the concentration, it's not the same as, you know, when we look at our smartphone. That's not concentration, because too many things are going on. Concentrating on the same object. So for you it is music, yeah? For a lot of people it is music, yeah? Yes, you can use it, you know, but you know, be careful, you know, because it's not the real thing, yeah? You know, the real thing is, you know, I mean, developing this concentration, yeah? And developing this sati, this awareness, yeah? On what we are doing, why we are doing, and what is the result of our doing. Yeah? Because after you hear the music, you know, I mean, your concentration, you know, disappears very quickly. Yeah? The energy. Yeah? So.
Thank you very much.
All right, can I ask a question? Can I do now?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I got meditation and I usually get to peak concentration in about 25 minutes. And it seems like a recurring thing where it's almost like something big is about to happen. And then like the concentration then goes off rails and I can't concentrate anymore. I was wondering if you have any experience with that, how to overcome that, what that is.
It's normal for every practitioner, yeah? And what the problem is, yeah? The kilesas fool you in telling you that something big is happening. So you expect something big, yeah? And then you look around and your concentration is gone, yeah? And it happens, yeah? And especially it happens to people who have really a good samadhi, yeah? I mean, they went into samadhi and stayed there for a while, you know, they came out, yeah? And then they try to redo the same experiment again, yeah? Huh? And they can't get in there because they're looking for the samadhi that happened, you know, I mean, 2 or 3 days ago, yeah? What brings us to samadhi, what brings us to concentration is, yeah? Like I often say, digging a hole. The moment you stop digging, the hole will disappear, yeah? So you stay with the Buddha or you stay with the breath, yeah? When this thought comes in, and it comes in, it creeps in, something is big, no, yeah? Fake, yeah? Just call it fake news or whatever you want, yeah? Just make it out for something, you know, that is pulling you off, yeah? So there was a weakness, so this thought could come in, yeah? And instead of saying, no, not interested, just say not interested, yeah? Or bullshit, or whatever you like, yeah? And then go back to your breath, yeah?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah?
So, I had a question before about my breath, about practicing breathing in and breathing out.
Yeah.
And you advised me, if I understood correctly, to try to catch the moment when breathing in turns into breathing out.
Yeah.
So I try to focus on my the sensation of hot and cold in my nose more to try to see if I can catch hot turning into cold, like that sensation to catch the moment of breathing in, breathing out. But
yeah, that doesn't work. That's not going to work. why I say, you know, to focus on, you know, try to catch the moment when the in-breath turns to out-breath or the out-breath turns to in-breath is to make us interested. Yeah? So, I mean, to focus on the nose, you know, I mean, that's where your concentration is. But the knowing, yeah, I mean, you should know the breath, yeah? And this is the point. When you know the breath, yeah, then you see the point, yeah, when it switches, yeah, because then there's an intention to breathe in or there's an intention to breathe out, yeah, and you see that point or you can see it, yeah. You will never be able, you know, to really directly, yeah, to directly pinpoint it, yeah, but your interest in this, you know, to catch this point, yeah, makes you so alert, yeah, that your meditation goes really well. Yeah, that your concentration becomes very easy. But if you go for the feeling around the nose, that is not the way, yeah? Okay, understood?
Okay, but then, no.
Yeah, okay.
Just say, okay, but then and I don't understand about when you say focus on the breath.
Yeah.
You know, I get confused when you say focus on the breath, because what is the breath? When I see breath, when I ask myself what is breath, I just see like sensation or moving in the body. So I get confused when you say try to focus on the breath.
Yeah. You concentrate around the tip of the nose. That's where you feel the breath. Yeah. Then close your eyes. Do you know that you're breathing in, and do you know that you breathe out? Try it for the moment.
Yes, I do. But then when I try to see what it is that I know about breathing, it is
no. Don't go in now. That's where you go off. Just know the breath goes in. Just know the breath goes out. And then the longer you stay in, the more focused you are, the more you know about, okay, the in-breath starts, you know, the in-breath that it is at its height, you know, now the in-breath, you know, slowly goes out, yeah. And then there's a turning point, yeah. And then the out-breath starts, you know, and then you see, yeah. And you know, and you focus more on this knowing, the knowingness of the breath, yeah. People in the beginning, they have to feel it, you know, but this is not so important, yeah? The concentration should be around the nose. The knowingness is the important thing that we need to develop, yeah? See if the in-breath is long or if the in-breath is short. See, you know if the in-breath is rough or if the in-breath is detailed or if it is subtle, yeah? Just know this, yeah? Try to do that until the next Zoom session. Huh? Now you understand?
Yeah.
So focus more on the knowing, because in the beginning people hold too much, you know, on the feeling of the what they feel, the breath comes in and the breath goes out, yeah. But in the end, you know, we have to more go to the knowingness, yeah. But keep your concentration here, yeah. Okay.
Thank you. If you don't mind, I had another question as well, because sometimes when I practice myself, sometimes I get lazy. So I like to go to a group to help me motivate to practice.
To go to what?
To a group.
Together. A group, yeah.
I feel, or they use like something to sit on. Well, I like to just sit with nothing.
Yeah.
But they say like you should sit on something because it's better for your posture and you will be more easy to meditate, because when I sit too long, my leg becomes dead. I don't feel anything much anymore.
Yeah.
But I am fine with that.
Yeah.
But they tell me, well, it's not right. You shouldn't feel like that. But I think that is not true. So it makes me confused, and I feel like I don't feel good joining the group, because it just makes me confused. So I was wondering about your thoughts on that.
You live in the West. That's where people have all sorts of ideas. Yeah? I mean, especially in meditation groups. Yeah? They think, you know, you have to sit like this. You know, you have to sit like this. You should sit on a high cushion. You sit on a low cushion. Huh? And then the other thing is about you should not eat this kind of food, you should not eat that kind of food, you need only this food, you know, you should drink this kind of... It's all about the body, damn it. Huh? It's nothing about the citta. Huh? So if you don't feel well in this group, you know, I mean, forget it, yeah? then try, you know. I mean, the important thing is, you know, I mean... If you later on you want to go to a monastery where you really can practice, yeah, or to a place where you can really practice, you have to get self-discipline. Yeah? Ask yourself, what am I going to do with my life? Yeah? When I'm lazing around here, you know, lying in my, yeah, looking at my smartphone, what does it bring me? Yeah? What kind of value does this kind of activity, yeah, bring me? Yeah, and the activity of meditation always brings you something. Yeah, no matter if it is hard. Yeah, I mean, even if it is hard, afterwards you feel good. Yeah, well, sometimes we feel tired. Yeah, but it's still better. You know, the results of it are still better. Use the daily. I mean, sometimes I talk about the daily reflection. Yeah. see what you're doing during the day, you know, see what kind of encounters, what does it do to your heart, yeah? What you do, you know, what you say, you know, yeah? What kind of effect does it have on your heart, yeah? Do this kind of reflection, and this might be able to overcome the laziness, huh? If you see, you know, I mean, we do so many things that are completely useless, yeah? I mean, I said, you know, killing time, yeah? I mean, do we have so much time? No, we don't. We actually don't have. But we constantly kill time, you know, I mean, texting this and, you know, looking this, you know, yeah, I mean, getting interested in this, and then, you know, from there we go through there, and then go to there, and then we waste 2 hours, yeah? Where do you live?
In the Netherlands.
In Holland. lots of
quotes. Do you have any suggestion for a place to go in the Netherlands? I'm not sure if you're familiar.
I think there's a meditation center in Amsterdam that is something like the Buddha House. That's a relatively good place to go. They have some sort of connection with the former Ayakema. Yeah. Where do you live close to Amsterdam or?
Nijmegen.
Oh, that
you're
is.
In
that isn't that close to the sea? Nijmegen.
No, close to the German border.
Close to the German border.
Yes.
Or close to the German
border. It's in the middle, close to the German border.
I know only one meditation center that is quite good, you know, that is in near Hamburg, yeah. Otherwise I really don't know, yeah. No, I mean try to with self discipline, yeah? See how it worked, yeah. Otherwise you do have to go a little bit further, yeah. Nijmegen, yeah. I'm close to the border.
Yeah, because there are some Thai temples as well, but my Thai is not good enough yet, so I can't understand everything.
They sometimes allow you to sit, you know, or they sometimes have meditation sessions, yeah? And then you don't, you know, I mean, you just listen to the Thai, you're not interested, you just listen with your heart, yeah? I mean, and you just meditate together with them, yeah? If they offer it. I don't know if they offer it. Yeah. Most of the Thai temples in the West, they just do ceremony. Yeah. I was disheartened when I was in Germany. Okay, so I mean, try it out, you know what I say, yeah? I mean, do a little bit of reflection what you do, yeah? And then what kind of value it gives you towards your life, yeah? And don't waste your time, yeah? Don't kill time. Or just come to Thailand, yeah?
Yeah, I will actually.
Yeah, hurry up, you know. Holland and Germany and England and France, you know, I mean, they're getting very cold now.
It is.
And you have nothing to heat, yeah? I mean, in Netherlands there is no wood, at least in Germany we have some wood to burn. Okay, so next question.
Anyone else has questions? If not, I'll just read off the questions submitted online.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So, the first question. What should we do if the mind doesn't want to focus on the Buddha or breath? Should we force it?
No, we should force it, yeah? We bring it back to Buddha, yeah? And that's the only way how you learn it, yeah? It's the same thing, you know, I mean, we learned, yeah? I mean, how often, you know, this person went to school sometimes and didn't want to focus, you know, on the school. What did he do, yeah? I mean, he had to force himself to get interested, otherwise he wouldn't pass, yeah? So, it's the same with meditation. You sooner or later have to force the mind coming back to the Buddha, yeah? And this, we should not, yeah? We should use force, you know, to force it back to the Buddha, yeah? And we should not get disheartened, because then the mind instantly goes back again, you know, and then we bring it back, and then we bring it back, and then we bring it back, and yeah, we need some patience. And in our times, you know, patience is something, you know, that most of us don't have anymore. Yeah? We don't have the patience, you know, to do things over and over and over again. Yeah? We want instant results, yeah? Like other people want instant karma. Okay. Next question.
Next question. Why is it worse to kill a human than something like a cockroach? I know the Buddha talked on how killing one's parents or an arahant is a greater offense than normal killing.
Than normal what?
Normal killing.
I mean, killing a human being is really grave, yeah? But killing your parents who looked after you for 20 years is similar to killing an arahant, yeah? It's a very grave offense, yeah? And people who do that, you know, go to the deepest hell for a long, long time. Yeah? It's just, you know, your parents brought you this life, yeah? And they looked after you. And no matter how long they looked after you, yeah? And the Lord Buddha said, this generosity of your parents to bring you to life and to look after you for 16 or 20 years, yeah? I mean, even if you want to, you are not able to repay that, yeah? In this lifetime. That's why it is such a grave offense, and to kill one's parents. And why would one kill one's parents anyway?
Next question. How to notice pancha versus contemplation?
Pancha?
It's mental proliferation.
I just googled. It just means something like to spread the mind out and elaborate upon any sense object that arises in experience.
I mean, if you're with the Buddha, yeah? I really don't understand, you know. I mean, meditation or a samatha is, you're either with the Buddha or with the breath, yeah? And
they're asking about contemplation versus this. Not
contemplation or what? What is he asking? Can you repeat it?
So, how do you notice apancha versus contemplation?
Versus contemplation, yeah? I mean, if you have no sati, and in contemplation, you also have to stay with the object, yeah? So, I mean, papancha is, you know, I mean, if you jump from one idea to the next idea, to the next idea, to the next idea, yeah? And within 2 minutes, I mean, you run around the world, you know? You come back to the first point, yeah? And that is papancha, yeah? Contemplation is, you know, you know, sticking with one object, you know, be it the liver, be it the body, be it the hair of the head, you know, or be it the skin, yeah? And then you stick, this is the object, yeah? The object of concentration, yeah? And once you get that stable, then you ask questions, yeah? About this object, and only about this object, yeah? What is the nature of the object? When I dissect it, what is happening? When I put it in the fire, what is happening? Things like that, yeah? So you direct, you know, you put direct questions towards this one object, yeah? So you will never go into papancha. But people, you know, who don't have enough sati, you know, then they think about this object, for instance, the liver for a moment, then they go, you know, to the bones, you know, and then they go to the skin, and then they go to the hair. That is papancha. That is useless, yeah? Okay, next question.
I know you don't want to talk about hell, but could you please describe something out of your own experience, please? It's so interesting. I don't believe that there are demons in hell that torture people. It doesn't make sense for me.
It doesn't make sense for you. There are people who are torturing people here in the human realm. Doesn't make sense for you, huh? If he wants to know, there are two suttas in the... The Lord Buddha didn't want to talk about it either, yeah? I mean, because it's so terrible. There are two suttas in the Majjhima Patipada, in the Majjhima Nikaya, yeah? And I think it's the sutta 149, 150 or 151, yeah? There are two suttas, yeah? I mean, it just really describes how, yeah. My experience about hell, you know, it's, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, constant burning, yeah. But that was the long hell. Yeah? I must have done something really great. Yeah? Must have been ages ago. So, it's not comfortable. Yeah, some people have the experience, you know, one of my colleagues, you know, went down to hell, you know, and he was greeted by the guardians of hell, because there is a guardians of the hell, and there's the lord of the hell, yeah? I mean, it's organized just like in the human realm or in the deva realm. I mean, why do you think, you know, I mean, hell is just a great fiery pit, you know? That's not true, yeah? Because there are different kinds of hell, and there are 25 different realms of hell, yeah? 5 major realms, yeah, for the major sins, yeah, for the 5 major precepts, yeah, yeah? And then each one, you know, is subdivided into other 5 realms, yeah, and the one is the great hell, yeah. So somebody, you know, or you should look, you know, I mean, there's a very nice movie, yeah. It was made in Thai, yeah. There were 5 people, you know, I mean, traveling in a little minibus, you know, and they had an accident, and they all went into coma, and they were instantly, you know, received by the guardians of hell and pushed towards hell, yeah. And only 2 of them came back because, I mean, they came out of the coma and the other one stayed in hell, yeah. And so these 2 people, you know, made a movie about it, yeah. And it's called The Hell, yeah. It's in Thai, you know, I mean, I think now it is, you know, sometimes you get subtitles in English, yeah, or we have subtitles in English and the subtitles in German, you know, I mean, it's gruesome enough to watch that, yeah. And it is pretty much like the description, you know, in the suttas, yeah. So, maybe there's a little bit of fantasy, but, you know, anyway, you know, I mean, it's worthwhile, yeah. I mean, when I was in Germany, you know, I told the practitioners, watch it, yeah. So you know what is coming up, yeah. And normally all of the monks have watched it, yeah. So if you want to watch it, you know, I mean, you're free, yeah. You're welcome, yeah. Yeah. To see, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so last question. So this is quite a long question. I can't think of a way to change myself. I don't want to be the way I feel I am. And I cannot stop thinking of myself as being the way I think I am.
Mm.
From what I see through my eyes and feel of what is happening around me, I cannot help but think of myself being in a certain way. And I really don't want to be this way. I almost hate myself for being this way. I feel like an alien around people. Yeah. I think that's this.
The solution is very simple. Stop thinking. And just be. If you don't think about yourself, yeah, then this illusion that he's entertaining, be it a good illusion or be it a bad illusion, will disappear. He just is, yeah. So stop thinking about yourself, who you are, where you are, why you are, you know, just look, yeah. Look, you know, I mean, focus more on the feelings, focus more on the feeling of the body, or focus more, you know, whatever, yeah. I mean, he has to do meditation. He has to learn how to stop thinking. Yeah, I mean, the world that we live in is the world of our thoughts and of our memories. Yeah, and the thoughts change, you know, the memories change, and that's how, yeah, how in the long time, you know, we will change. Yeah. Okay. Now we have some questions from our readers.
So. 3 questions from the same person. The first one, what is Abhidhamma? Why is it called higher learning by Wikipedia? He could just look at Wikipedia, but...
Yeah. Abhidhamma is the higher teaching, you know, and the Lord Buddha, you know, taught it in heaven. So, I mean, we shouldn't even think about it.
Okay. Second question. Does one have to learn Abhidhamma to achieve Nirvana?
No.
Third question. Can one achieve Nirvana by just learning and practicing what is taught in Sutta and Vinaya Pitaka?
No, because we have to practice.
Well, he did say practice.
He did say practice.
Learning and practicing.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really have to learn to practice. I mean, you just have to sit down, you know. I mean, there's two things, yeah. There's samatha and there's contemplation. The path out, yeah, and the fourth noble truth is sila, samadhi, panya. So, I mean, you have to keep your silas, and lots of people forget that, yeah. You have to keep the five precepts, yeah. When you're in the monasteries, you keep the eight precepts. Then you have to learn how to train the mind to get focused, you know, until there's no more thought and no more memory arising, yeah. That's called samadhi, yeah, or upachara samadhi, yeah. And then you have to learn how to, yeah, to investigate the things that we believe we are. And that are the five khandhas. And it starts with the body, yeah. Body and bodily feeling, yeah. Then it's the second khandha is feeling, the third khandha is thought or memory, yeah. Memory and association, that's the third khandha. The fourth khandha is thought, yeah, sankhara. And the last khandha is vijnana, consciousness. Yeah. These things, yeah, these are our toolbox, yeah, how we live, you know. This is our video game, how we play the video game of life, yeah. No matter in which realm of existence we are. And so we have to investigate. Yeah. So, I mean, it is pretty simple. The tough thing is to do it, actually. Yeah? To keep the five precepts all the time. Huh? And then to learn how to train the mind to get in samadhi. Yeah? I mean, he can read the suttas, you know, sometimes they're inspiring, you know. I mean, when you read about all these things that happened, you know, in the suttas at the time of the Lord Buddha, they can be really inspiring. But in the end, you have to sit down and get the mind calm. Yeah? And once you get the mind calm, you have to do the investigation, yeah. Yeah? Without the investigation of the five khandhas, you will never reach the nirvana. Yeah. Okay, so next question.
Second person. Is there any meditation technique like visualization or healing energy that can be used for healing the body? Or should one just fix on the Buddha and try to let it go altogether?
Healing. Of course, the power of the citta, yeah, I mean, is immense, yeah. I mean, if you have the feeling, yeah, you can use the scan technique that is often taught in the West, you know, place your attention on, you know, on the size of a coin, yeah, and then go through all the body, yeah. And if you do that often, I mean, you can go actually quite deep inside the body, huh? And then when you see some parts, you know, that are tense, you know, then relax them, yeah. I mean, tell them, you know, to relax, and then they will be relaxing, yeah? You can use the concentration, you know, to heal parts of the body, yeah? But, I mean, this healing energy, you know, I mean, I'm not familiar with that, yeah? I only know the ways of samatha, yeah? Of the calm meditation of sati, you know, and if something is there, and then you go and look, yeah? Because, I mean, you have inner eyes, yeah? You learn it with contemplation, you have inner eyes, you go to this organ, you know, or you go to this spot, you know, and then you see what is wrong, yeah? And maybe then some idea comes, you know, what to do, yeah? You might realize you have had the wrong food, you know, that this kind of food is not healthy for you, yeah? And then you change your diet, yeah?
Three questions by this person. two times 500 pesos appeared in my wallet or in my money box. I believe in devas and psychic powers, but this is just new to me. I don't know if I should accept the money or if a spirit took it from somebody like my father or the bank, or maybe it was just created out of nothing. Should I accept the money? My father told me that it was not him. He did not enter my room, and okay. I don't remember placing the bill in my wallet.
Okay. Yeah, just of course accept the money.
Second question, is legal war bad karma? Will it give bad results?
Yes.
I think some evil people try to ruin my life. I can't have a job and they have defamed me to the point I cannot go out without being recognized and criticized harshly about lies.
About what? About lies?
Yeah, I don't know why they're connected, these two things.
I mean, war is always bad karma. Yeah? I mean, because you fight, you know, you injure people or you kill people. Yeah. So, I mean, it's always, there is no legal war. All the wars are illegal. Yeah. However, in the terms, I think in the international terms, if another country, you know, attacks a country, then you're allowed to defend yourself. Yeah. So that is international law. Yeah. But in terms of Buddhism, yeah, I mean, yeah, every war, yeah, even the war of defense, you know, is bad karma. Yeah. So what was the other thing?
About evil people trying to ruin their life.
Stop thinking. Mm. They are not evil people, you know. That is a perception. Yeah. See in them. Yeah. I mean, the Lord Buddha said, you know. I mean, yes, there are some people who are not that good, you know. Not as good as we. Yeah? See the good side. Every person has a good side. Yeah. Even the mafia boss, you know, I mean, who tortures a lot of people. Yeah. I mean, he loves his children. He loves, you know, he cares about his nephews. Yeah. And so on. Yeah. I mean, that's a good side. So focus on the positive aspects of this person. Yeah. And the best thing, stop thinking about all these things. Yeah? Yeah? Breathe in, breathe out. Yeah. That's it. Yeah? So third question. Third. Part of the question.
Well, there's actually more. Is it possible to be celibate and at the same time enjoy the senses, like watching TV or Facebook, eating delicious food, etc.? I had been trying for years to be celibate, but I realized it's not possible in lay life.
It is possible in lay life. I mean, he should look to the Zoom session. You know, I mean, this person, you know, is celibate for 5 years. Yeah, I mean, so it is possible. Yeah, I mean, this is a. The other thing he's talking about is sense pleasures. Okay, there's nothing inherently wrong, you know, with all these things, yeah. As long as he, you know, as long he makes up his mind that he wants to have another life. Yeah. If he wants to get out, you know, I mean, he should cut down on the sense pleasures, yeah. Hmm? I mean, if you want to be celibate, yeah, I mean, there should be a reason for it, not just for the purpose of it. It's just like, you know, I mean, some people, you know, just fast, you know, for you know, because they think it is a great thing. No, it's a tool, yeah. Celibacy is a tool, you know, to overcome raga tanha or sensual desires, yeah. And then you shouldn't indulge in the other sensual desires as well, yeah. So, I mean, if you just does it, you know, and just wants to, you know, tell his mate, you know, look at me, you know, I'm so great, I'm celibate. Yeah, I mean, that's useless. Yeah, if he wants to find a way out, then it is useful. Yeah, also reducing also the other sensual pleasures. Yeah, he doesn't have to give up the sensual pleasures because, I mean, it is very difficult because he has to go the way of investigation. That will reduce actually. So next question.
How can we prepare for nuclear war? Does Tan Ajahn know what will happen?
I mean, you have to ask physicists. It will be quite a, yeah. There will be no nuclear war. As far as I know, there will be no nuclear all-out war. Yeah? There might be some nuclear tactical bombs. Yeah? I mean, he should look at Chernobyl. Yeah, I mean, he should read something about Chernobyl and that the fallout, you know, it's the same thing. Or he should look at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, yeah. There's nothing you can protect yourself except that you're far away and are not, you know, are not in the direction of the wind that brings it to you. There's nothing, yeah. Prepare yourself for death. That is much more helpful. Yeah. Sooner or later we die all. Yeah. Some of us are, you know, burned or put to ashes alive by a nuclear blast. You know, others, you know, will die of radiation. That is much worse. Yeah. It can take up to 20 years, you know, to die of this radiation poisoning. Anyway, next question.
So, next person. While meditating, I heard sounds like people talking, whispering behind my back, but there was nobody behind me.
That's right.
Fear arose, then I repeated Buddha, Dhammo, and Sangho, yeah. And I told myself it was a delusion. Then it disappeared, but the next evening it occurred again and it disappeared again. Is it just a hindrance?
It can be a hindrance, yeah. Yeah. So I mean, don't pay any interest to it. Yeah. I mean, even if you hear it, you know, I mean, then go back to the upadok, yeah. Because it also means that your attention is split, yeah. One half of your attention is on the Buddha and half of the attention is on the sound, yeah. Because if you're completely concentrated, you don't even hear the sound. Yeah. But it can happen, yeah. I mean, he can have practice, you know, some of these, yeah. Some of these things that he can hear, you know, people, yeah. Even if they are not around.
Last question. Can a person with schizophrenia enter the stream?
That's very difficult to answer. Yeah. I mean, it's the same question. Can Chilabert enter the stream? I don't know if he can. I don't know if you can enter the stream, but I can tell you, you know, if you put all your effort, you know, in doing Sila Samadhi and Panya, you know, I mean, then you will be able to enter the stream, yeah. That's all I can say, yeah. But a schizophrenic person, it's very difficult, yeah. The schizophrenic person, yeah. I mean, it's mostly in its world, you know, it is actually in two worlds, yeah. That's why it's called schizophrenic, yeah. It's in two worlds, yeah. It has to stop thinking. And that would be very difficult, yeah. I mean, why does he, yeah? There are lots of schizophrenic people in this world, yeah. They don't know that they're schizophrenic. Because they want to live in another world, you know, in the world of games, in the world of, you know, Second Life. You know, wasn't there a game, you know, called Second Life, yeah, where they can make up a new personality and act out, you know, a new, you know, all these things. I mean, that is for me schizophrenic already, yeah. Because we don't accept reality as it is there. The only way to get out is, you know, I mean, stop thinking. It's always a good solution. Stop thinking and just see what is happening. Yeah? Because all these things are still happening. Yeah? But because of our thinking, of our mind engine that is still running, we don't know what the nature is like. Yeah? Yeah? What did I say about stopping the mind engine? Yeah? I mean, it's just like, you know, you go, you know, with your big, you know, noisy car, you know, into a nature park. Yeah. With all these birds and with all these, you know, with all these flowers, but you have your air conditioner on and you have your engine running, yeah, and you have your radio running, yeah, and maybe sometimes the TV running. I mean, what is the point, yeah? So you have to close down the TV, the radio, the air conditioner, then the engine, and then open the window, and then you know what nature is, yeah. So, and this mind engine is created by our thoughts and memories, yeah? So if we stop thoughts and memories, I mean, we actually, you know, experience the nature, yeah? Of whatever it is, yeah? Okay? That's enough for today, yeah? I think it's long enough. 1.5 hours already, yeah? But if you have some pressing questions, you know, I mean, is it okay? You're still there?
Yeah, yes, I think, yeah. No questions from online.
Okay, yeah. So next time, sometimes in November, yeah? Probably also around the 22nd or something like that, yeah?
Okay, cool.
Because on the 27th I have a talk. Okay?
Yeah.
Good night, everybody, yeah? Or good morning, people in the US.
Let's all pay respects to Panajan together.
No. Don't bother us with your online purchases. If you need something, you know, basic things, you always get from the monastery, yeah? I mean, we have to run around, you know, when these carry-out things come in, you know, and then we have to look for you. No, that's not our job as monks, yeah? Yeah? If there is something important, you know, I mean, let us know, and then you said you can only buy it online. But most of the things you can buy, you know, you just go out and buy it, you know, wherever it is needed, yeah? If you need something. And let Pierre know, he starts, you know, and then everybody else starts, you know. Today is, I saw one of the Thai ladies as well, oh? Yeah? I'm not If it is really, if it is really important, you know, I mean, come, yeah, and say, you know, I need this, yeah. But what do you need, you know? You need your Buddha and your breath, yeah, huh? That's it. What you have to look after, yeah. I mean, toothpaste, toothbrushes, you can all soap, you know. I mean, you can get, you know, from us, yeah. Hmm? I mean, pillows and blankets, you know. We have so much, yeah. We have bundles, we can open a shop, you know. And So, I mean, to order it online, I mean, it's a waste of time, yeah. It's a waste of money, yeah. I mean, we provide you with the basic things, yeah. And whenever you need something, be it a soap or be it a new toothbrush or toothpaste, yeah. I mean, a blanket or a pillow or whatever, we have it, you know. Candles, we have it, you know. Lighters and so on, you know, we have it. We have plenty of it. Yeah? And if you run out, you know, we let you know. Yeah? Okay, yeah? And let Pierre know, yeah? I mean, yeah? He got the idea from you, huh?
No idea.
Yeah. It's not necessary. All these things are not necessary. Yeah? We don't check what you buy, but, you know. But it is a burden on us, yeah? Yeah. You understand that? Yeah. But if it is really necessary, then come and check with us. Okay.